So pleased to have you with us here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Hi, Larry Mueller here, and we're going to begin the show today by talking with you about the lasting legacy of Aldo Leopold. And I made a mistake when I was promoting the program a few minutes back. I said that you were going to have a chance to attend the grand opening of the Aldo Leopold Legacy Center on Saturday, April 22nd. It's actually Sunday, April 22nd. Saturday, April 21st is Earth Day, if I am not mistaken, right? My two guests, excuse me, my two guests are shaking their head. Yeah, you got it right now. So, Buddy Hoffaker, who is executive director of the Aldo Leopold Foundation in Baraboo, and Steve Swenson, who's the foundation ecologist, are going to be talking with us about the grand opening of the Aldo Leopold Legacy Center. It's in near Baraboo and Portage, and you will have a chance to visit on this Sunday, April 22nd, from 1 o'clock to 5 o'clock, isn't it, Buddy?
That's correct.
All right. And we'll talk, obviously, some more about what you're going to see when you get there, and we'll talk about Aldo Leopold today with you, and we certainly hope you'll join in with your questions, be it about Leopold, be it about the center, be it about the work that gets done with the foundation itself. We're more than happy to help out in all of those areas and probably more, too, that I haven't thought about right now. Give us a call at 1-800-642-1234 or in Madison at 263-1890. We'll get you on the air. Buddy Hoffaker, welcome to the show. Nice to have you with us.
Thanks, Larry. Glad to be here.
And Steve Swenson, welcome. It's your first time here, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Really pleased to have you with us. You guys been a little busy, I bet.
It's been a kind of beehive of activity around the Leopold property this last couple of weeks.
What's the size of the Leopold property?
Well, our holdings that surround the Leopold shack and farm that Leopold originally purchased in 1935 is just under 300 acres. And then the site where the Legacy Center is not exactly adjacent to that property. It's a little bit down the road on the site where he actually passed away on Saturday, or on April 21st, 1948. And that site is about 14 acres. The foundation also owns some acreage in the Baraboo Hills that was gifted to us, and we participate in what's called the Leopold Memorial Reserve, which is a collection of private landowners, and that acreage is just under 2,000 acres.
So quite a bit of land to work with there. That's wonderful. Well, tell us about the Legacy Center. How did the idea for this get going?
The idea had been present in the minds of the Foundation Board and the Leopold family for some time. I joined the organization in 1996, and shortly thereafter, the idea had already begun to emerge. But it was probably about 5 years ago that we got much more serious about why would the Leopold Foundation want to build a building, and if so, what would it need to do, and what standards would it have to adhere to? And so we began a strategic planning process as an institution and talking to our supporters and really conceived of a building that would take advantage of all of the assets that the foundation is stewarding. Again, the property that we've already talked about that Leopold and his family restored that has now had so much attention to it as one of the early examples of ecological restoration. We also serve as the steward of his literary estate, so we help make sure that a Sand County Almanac gets out into new languages and in new formats, and then all of his archival materials. And we're actually working with the University of Wisconsin Archives to digitize all of those so that those will be available online as well. And so, you know, thinking about all this, we wanted a place that really would improve and really create a lasting impression for those people who come to the shack and want to be informed and inspired by Leopold legacy. And thus, the idea kind of unfolded organically.
So 5 years?
About 5 years.
That's not too bad, actually.
That's not too bad, yeah. We started fundraising about 3 years ago and began the architectural design process. And then we started construction just about 10 months ago.
Man, and something like 70,000 board feet of lumber?
That's Steve's department.
What about that, Steve?
Well, when we conceived of the building idea, we thought, well, what do we have to offer from our land? We had two harvests in mind, one of which had been talked about for quite some time, harvesting in the Leopold Pines. And it was one harvest that I think really was up for a lot of debate, certainly within the family. Not everyone agreed that these trees should come down. Others said, oh, clearly they need to go through a thinning. And so we put together a harvest plan that was based on the health of the trees, clearly recognizing that some of the red pine in particular were suffering from overcrowded growth, very thin canopies, tall kind of spindly trees. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we put all this evidence together, took Carl and Estella, two of the Leopold children out there in the field, gave them our best case for doing a thinning in the Leopold pine. And Carl's comment was to me, well, you know, alternatively, we could not cut any trees down. And that was a bit of a shock. That was a bit of a shock. I mean, I thought there'd be shades of gray, but we wouldn't just switch to no cutting whatsoever. But I think what I realized at that moment was that, you know, that was Carl's land ethic coming through, that was his relationship to the land, planting those trees as a young man, putting together a bucket brigade with his brothers and sisters to keep him watered through those drought years. That was what was talking through him. And so eventually we did get their blessing to plant, to take down some of the trees that they planted and put them in the center. And I think that if you see the finished product on Sunday, you'll think that we honored that material.
And the fact that it's going into the center had to have helped in Carl's, you know, final decision or agreement to go along with that.
Yeah, I mean, this is not a new idea. Nina's house is built mm-hmm. entirely of pine that she planted as a child. And so I think there were some good examples of how we could use this material. And I think they saw the harvest as not so much a harvest as a transplanting of those trees into a new structure and to put a roof over Leopold's ideas and allow us to take that to the next level.
Now, how large is this new center?
It's about 12,000 square feet. And broke up into three buildings,
mm-hmm.
Each one obviously
has some purpose.
Yeah. The idea was to break up the buildings and sort of create an environment that sort of brought out the best in each of those structures. So our garage is separate, where we have all of our stewardship equipment. Our outdoor classroom, which is a big space. Is separate so that we can have it operating for the three seasons that we typically have programming that requires that large of a space but don't require us to heat it year-round, as well as some of the other components of the building are sort of broke up. So it's really a nice little campus. A farmstead, really, is what it kind of appears.
Yeah.
And this was, again, when we decided to truly embark upon this, there were two things that were driving both the design and then the construction of the facility. And one, as is obvious, are these kind of unique and precious materials that we had available to us to work with. And the other was energy, and with energy being kind of the preeminent issue on, if not the environmental landscape, or maybe even arguably our entire social landscape, we wanted to demonstrate what could be done to produce as much energy as we consume. And so the important part of that equation is to really reduce consumption. And so having these multiple buildings and multiple functions allowed us to isolate usage and thus really fine-tune what energy inputs are needed for those different areas. Mm-hmm. And so it was a critical part of the design, both from aesthetic as well as energy performance aspect.
And you've got some really kind of a neat system. You've got I think one of the largest solar panel systems in the state, do you not?
Yeah, when we started, it would have been the biggest, but the Urban Ecology Center in Milwaukee, maybe to kind of challenge us, upgraded their system. So it's a new kind of energy war here to have the biggest solar panel system. But it'll be the second largest system in the state.
And there's also, you've got earth tubes that are...
We utilize geothermal systems in two different ways. One, the primary heating and cooling for the building is done through a radiant floor system driven by geothermal wells that go 220 feet into the ground, and there are 19 of those. But then also commercial buildings are required to have fresh air exchanges so that you are turning over the air for the health of the occupants. And we use these geothermal earth tubes. It's kind of a same principles, but a modified system where air comes in through a concrete manhole and travels through 600 linear feet of concrete pipe underground, and then gets pretreated before it comes into the building. And then that's the air that's used for our fresh air system. So it requires a lot less energy to treat the air to get to temperature, and also allows us to have 100% fresh air. A lot of buildings recycle the air that's already been in the building. So the air is better, energy is less to drive that whole system.
So when you when you're done, you're going to have a, is it almost going to be self-sufficient or fully or partly?
Our energy modeling shows that we'll produce 110% of the energy necessary to run the building. So we'll see whether we can live up to that, but that's our expectation.
Talking with Buddy Huffaker today, Executive Director of the Aldo Leopold Foundation, and Steve Swenson, who is the foundation's ecologist, about the legacy of Aldo Leopold and about the grand opening of the Aldo Leopold Legacy Center. And that is this Sunday, April 22nd. So from 1 to 5, you'll have a chance to visit the property. We can give you some directions, and I'm sure you can go online and find out online as well. And we'll take your questions as well. If you have some questions about Aldo Leopold, about the center itself, about the work of the foundation, give us a call at 1-800-642-1234. Or if you're in the Madison area, reach us at 263-1890, 263-1890. I'm Larry Mueller. Jim Packard, our producer, and you are listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Talking about Aldo Leopold and about the Aldo Leopold Foundation and the grand opening of the Aldo Leopold Legacy Center today with our two guests, Buddy Huffaker and Steve Swenson. If you have a question, give us a call at 1-800-642-1234 or in the Madison area at 263-1890, 263-1890. Give us a call with your questions and with your comments. We'd love to hear from you. The Wilderness Society, just kind of back up and talked about Aldo Leopold for a little bit. The Wilderness Society, no less, recommends the Sand County Almanac by Aldo Leopold as its number one Earth Day read. And I think that shows a respect for the astonishing portraits that he portrayed of the natural world. Don't you think?
Absolutely. He was a founding member of the Wilderness Society, which was created in 1935. And I know on campus this evening, I don't know where, the president of the Wilderness Society, Bill Meadows, will be speaking. So if folks are interested, I'm sure they can get online and find that. But interestingly enough, he was a founding member of the Wilderness Society, the Wildlife Society, and, you know, conservationists from almost all walks look to Leopold as an inspirational figure in understanding why they've committed themselves to conservation. And I think probably if you did a lot of investigation, several entities would cite a Sand County Almanac as the most important read for those concerned about the environment and land.
And, you know, I think, Steve, that he'd probably be pretty... I hope he'd be happy with the kind of work. He may not be totally happy with the condition of the state or the condition of the country, but I think he would be pretty happy with what's going on with the foundation itself.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think the shack property was his getaway and his opportunity to stick the shovel in the ground and do something positive that was a very physical component of a land ethic. And the fact that we are in that same vein, caring for the land around the shack in partnership with our neighbors and more regionally through private lands initiatives, I think, again, it really draws out in private landowners that land ethic, that relationship between people and land.
What about, talk a bit more about the relationships you have and what they involve with these groups.
Well, they range wide and far. As far as the partnerships we get involved in, but very locally. We offer up our property for research on a number of levels. To have it be a site of one of many sites for a particular researcher or where the study is conducted in total. But, you know, we're studying invasive species up there. There's some nutrient work going on with respect to the Wisconsin River and how the nutrients are processed in the river. Bird studies, all sorts of sort of studies to understand better sort of the ecological workings of our environment, as well as what stewardship work could be done to improve the health of the land.
Mm-hmm. And does that research or that work tie in with what will be going on at the Legacy Center itself?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we see the Legacy Center not really as an end, but a means to really have the reach of the foundation get much broader and deeper into the conservation issues in the state and the region. And, you know, Steve also works very closely with private landowners themselves. In certain regions of the state, we actually help them develop management plans and implement management activities. We also offer educational classes through what's called the Woodland School, where people come and learn everything from how to run a chainsaw to how to develop a management plan for their property, and everything else in between. So the center provides us with a little bit more reliable and inspiring atmosphere for those kinds of activities. It'll also provide us with the opportunity to convene conversations about really important conservation issues of our day and that will be important in the future, and allows us to bring together diverse groups to come together and through Leopold's Legacy, as we were just talking about, mm-hmm. To think about where things are headed.
Who designed you had an architect, did you not? I'm sure you had an architect for the center.
Yeah, luckily it wasn't Steve and I on the back of an envelope designing this thing. The architect is out of Cedarburg. It's the Kabbalah Washotko Architects. They've done several now green buildings and similar facilities. So they had a really impressive body of work. And again, I think have designed a beautiful building. To mention just a few of the other key players, Bolt Construction has been the general contractor, and is really one of the regional leaders in again, green construction. So they've overseen the entire project. And then a couple other local entities that played key roles were Bachman Construction that did all the carpentry work. And really, folks who have appreciation for craftsmanship should come out and see what they've done. And then H&H Industries and H&H Electric did the mechanical and electrical systems, which, again, are receiving quite a bit of national attention for the efficiency of performance. And they're not really over sophisticated. They're actually quite simple. It's just mm-hmm. the integration that has come together in this building that is impressive. And we had a slew of other engineers that all deserve a lot of credit, but folks can come out Sunday and meet some of them and see the techniques in person.
Yeah, I wondered about that, whether or not part of your future work will be on the energy side and energy-saving side.
Well, I think part of any entity and individual interested in conservation, energy is going to come to the forefront. So we're going to have to wrestle with that as a community. And I think this building connects the green building movement and ecological design movement, which is rapidly attracting a lot of interest in transforming the whole building marketplace, construction marketplace, and connects that with our conservation heritage through Leopold. So I think it's been really exciting to see those different interest groups come together and provide us and others with this platform to talk about how land health and energy and architecture come together really in a quality of life way.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, what are people going to be able to see when they come out to the center? I'm sure you've got a program set up and so forth, and what are some of the things that will be going on?
Again, as you said, Larry, it's open from 1 to 5, so we expect some people to kind of rotate through the day. But we have sessions over the course of the day, and the detailed schedule can be found on our website. But the center itself will be open for people to walk through. We have a photography exhibit that presents some of Carl Leopold's photography from the 30s and 40s, which is just stunning black and white photography, with a local photographer, Jill Metcalf, who also does stunning large format photography, so people can see the past and the present mm-hmm. of the landscape. We are having a presentation on the solar energy and the technology and the size of our system and from H&H Electric, so people can see one of the leaders here and ask questions about how is this applicable at a residential scale or in my commercial situation. At 2:30, we'll have a kind of small and short ceremony to kind of mark the occasion. And then Steve will give a presentation in the afternoon about the timber harvest and all the effort it took to get from trees standing in the forest and those being the worst trees. We took out the worst trees in the forest into these beautiful building products. And then we'll also have a tour of these mechanical systems, the geothermal systems. So if folks have heard about these technologies and techniques and would like to see them, again, the engineers and the installers will be there to answer questions. And then finally, the local environmental charter school out of Portage has helped us build some rain gardens that collect the stormwater off of our buildings. And so they're going to give a presentation at the end of the day about how and why they designed the rain gardens the way they did. And so that's the lineup, and there'll be lots of resources available from foundation staff and the contractors that have worked on the project to field questions and interpret what folks are seeing. And obviously we're biased, but I think just coming out to see the beauty of the building is worth the trip in and of itself.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I want to go back. You mentioned the harvest of trees again, and one of the questions I had intended to ask earlier and forgot to ask was the harvest of the trees themselves. How were the trees harvested? Were there did we use techniques that were friendly to the forest?
Well, yeah. See, that's a great question because, you know, our assumption going into it, you know, we were getting emails when the news was going out that we were going to be cutting down some of the Leopold pines, and people were making assumptions that we were going to get out the horses and drag them out of the woods, and it was going to be very quaint and very light on the land. And in the end, I think what we realized was that some of the big equipment, the biggest equipment available to cut down trees, properly operated, is very sensitive to the land. In fact, we did some logging ourselves with our little tractor and made more damage with our narrow tires than with what the big equipment did. So it's getting getting the operator. This is Fike Forestry out of New Lisbon, Wisconsin, but getting those operators to slow down and
they know what they're doing,
and they know what they're doing, and they do a wonderful job, and really have the power to either make a big mess or do it right. And in our case, they did a wonderful job.
And I think that's kind of the metaphor for the whole project, from the timber harvest through the construction, is that and Leopold wrote about this often. It's not necessarily the technology or the knowledge; it's the use thereof that is so critical. And I think that's what is part of the backstory for everything that's gone into this building is the using the foresight Leopold had to plant these trees, and then now today trying to have the foresight to think about, well, what do we have at our disposal and how can we best use it to pursue our goals and to have the end product be a healthy landscape all around us. I think is really an important challenge for us in the 21st century.
Yeah. Well, let's take some calls. Again, if you want to join in, the number to call, 1-800-642-1234, or in Madison at 263-1890. Give us a call as we talk about the Aldo Leopold Foundation, the new center, and the legacy of Aldo Leopold. Ron in Newburg, we'll give you a chance. Good morning. Thanks for calling.
Good morning, and congratulations, fellows, and everybody involved in the project. To me, to set something like this up for Leopold's legacy in Wisconsin is just top-notch. What do you have as far as programs and seminars over the next couple of months? Not specific dates in that, but what kind of themes do you have to talk about what the center is and what Leopold's legacy is, et cetera?
Great question. On our website, we'll have some of our upcoming program listed, but just in general, again, the class activities of the Woodland School, primarily designed for private landowners who want to get engaged and improve the management of their properties. But it doesn't have to be limited to that. We often have conservation professionals and others who are looking for this specific educational opportunity. We also have a what we call Shack Seminar Series that, again, date back to Leopold's time and something he did with his graduate students. This facility allows us to expand that and do that throughout the majority of the year rather than just in the nice weather with long days at the Shack. We will continue to try to have those at the Shack, but now we have an inclement weather option. And for the colder months, some other options. The theme this year for those seminars is writers and those that are writing about land and people's relationship to the land. So I would encourage folks to look that up and see those opportunities. That'll happen monthly. And then, you know, we're kind of pushing towards the finish line here, and we'll begin to post more expanded programming opportunities. We have some things planned, some small groups and gatherings that we're convening, and a few other groups that are coming to us looking to use the space for their conversation. But this, again, gives us a whole new platform to move forward in the future. And so we look forward to having lots more opportunities for everybody to come engage us.
And I understand you've also hired staff that the tours like you'll have this weekend will continue throughout the year?
That's correct. We will have a great reminder. We will have public hours Thursday through Saturday. Each of those days, there will be tours of the Leopold Shack and Farm. There will also be discrete tours of the building itself, because we see a pretty strong demand for some time just in looking at the building and how it was built and why. We'll have our exhibit hall, which will be open. So, yes, Thursday through Saturday, folks are welcome, and please do come and see us and see what we're up to. And so those programming options will be available on a weekly basis.
Again, congratulations.
All right. Thanks very much for calling. Who typically, in the past year, what groups have been or what kinds of people come out to visit and participate in your activities?
Again, I think that's one of the wonderful things about Leopold is it's really diverse. We've had the Secretary of the Interior come to the Shack and the Chief of the Forest Service. Likewise, we every year have the freshman class of UW Sauk County come, and typically like the fourth grade class comes out from the local school. So, you know, I think what Ron said, the previous caller, is that trying to build this identity, Wisconsin's identity around Leopold and these ideas, really has made us a magnet for people from lots of different backgrounds, lots of different interests, and hopefully we'll just have more and more of that.
Yeah. And you mentioned, I want to go back to the time, you mentioned Thursday through Saturday. What are the normal hours for people?
9 to 5.
Oh, so it's all day.
Yeah, and the tours, I probably should have checked on this, I want to say are at 1 o'clock every day. You can also do we'll have a self-guided option, but you can also take a guided tour at 1 o'clock each of those days, Thursday through Saturday.
You talked about Aldo Leopold's, his themes, I guess might be a way to put it. What are the major ones that in your mind from Aldo Leopold?
I think the Sand County Almanac, when you read through that, you get a sense of what was important to him, and you begin with these singular observations that just sort of are out there, and that's the beginning. That's the almanac part of the book. And so there's just tracks in the snow, or it's just the sighting of a bird, and that feeds into phonology, which is something that Leopold did back in the 30s and 40s while he was up at the Shack, and now Nina, his daughter, continues over the last 30 years. And they've, in fact, written a paper comparing those results. But those singular events start turning into groups of events that come together and provide a bigger vision of what's happening on the landscape and the changes that are happening. And by the time you get to the end of the book, you're into the philosophy, the ethics, the overarching values that come through all of those observations.
Have we lost any of that, do you think, over time?
Well, certainly, you know, just the growing urbanization of our society disconnects people between their life and the resources that support their life. So I think we've lost some of that, but, you know, it's hard not to be optimistic with the folks that we see and the excitement and commitment that people have to these ideas. And again, like this environmental charter school kids that, you know, are just pouring themselves into these environmental projects. So it's certainly challenging. There's lots of distractions, I would say. And I think, as Steve mentioned earlier, that's why Leopold liked the shack, is it let him focus on the land. And, you know, we just need to create more opportunities for people to touch the ground again and get their hands dirty.
And that's what you've been trying to do.
Absolutely. Yeah. You know, in terms of a programming opportunity, one which we don't have on the calendar yet, but anybody who's interested, the landscaping has not been healed in at the Legacy Center. So we're going to be planting lots of native plants and looking for hands to help.
Yeah, and I suppose volunteers have always been a huge part of the foundation.
They have, but we have a much greater ability now to engage people and let them contribute in a way that I think will be really robust moving forward. So I think anybody who's interested really should get in touch with us, because I think we'll have lots of new exciting opportunities.
Yeah. Well, Judy in Grand Marsh, we'll give you a chance. Hi, Judy. Thanks for calling.
Thank you so much. I'm not on the web, and I would like directions to the center.
Sure.
Roughly, if you're coming down Interstate...
They could call our
office. Yeah, that's what I would do. Call our office, 608-355-0279. And there are directions on the electronic messenger voicemail, which I wish we... If we want to volunteer to answer our phones, that would be wonderful. I would much, much rather have the personal touch. Or you can zero out and ask for somebody to help you. But just call our office, and that's the easiest way to get directions.
But basically, it's about, a couple miles?
We're just north of Baraboo.
Just north of Baraboo.
On Levee Road.
Levee Road, yeah.
Is there an easy way to know where Levee Road is? Does it follow the river?
It does. It's Rustic Road 49 is another posting that is sometimes used.
Okay.
And it's just north of, it runs almost parallel to State Highway 33, but to the north and right along the Wisconsin River.
Oh, that's a big help. Thank you so much.
All right. Thanks very much for calling. Appreciate your call. What was your financial goal to be able to construct the center?
The campaign goal, this is part of the land ethic campaign. Again, it places the building in a bigger context. And so in addition to constructing the Legacy Center, we wanted to digitize his archives. We needed some resources to really kind of get the shack and farm back into shape and create a small financial endowment to provide us with a little bit more stability. And that goal is $7.75 million, and we've raised $7.25 million. So we're on our last $500,000.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, and that's, again, over a three-year time period. And, you know, that was an ambitious goal for our organization when we started. We've grown quite a bit over the process, but it's been exciting. We've, you know, gotten support from all over the state, all over the country, and both small and large, but it's been really invigorating to see the positive response.
And let's go back to the foundation itself then. What's the how large a staff do you have and so forth? And what?
We have about 14 employees now, and again, a growing volunteer base. Our annual budget is about $750,000, and we have projects that range from managing our own property to working at regional and national scales.
Mm-hmm. And what do the volunteers typically do?
It runs a gamut from helping us take care of the property and getting involved with our stewardship activities, providing tours of the Leopold Shack and in the future the building itself. We haven't had the opportunity really for people to help us with in our bookstore and you know, maintain the landscaping, all those kind of things. So a whole new world is kind of opening up for volunteers.
And you're always eager for them. How do people kind of look into this?
They should contact Jennifer Kobolecki on our staff. Again, at our phone number, 608-355-0279, mm-hmm. or on the website, you'll find her email address. And she's the one who orchestrates all of that.
And what's the website address again?
www.aldoleopold.org.
www.aldoleopold.org. Well, guys, it's been a real pleasure to speak with you today. I really appreciate it. And let's go over once more the events that are taking place on Sunday, this coming Sunday.
Sunday, 1 to 5, tours of the building, tours of the shack. You can see some of the techniques and technologies and hear firsthand from those that designed them and installed them, and come see what we hope will arguably be the greenest building at our latitude in North America.
Thanks so much for being with us today. Really appreciate it. And Steve brought me an Aldo Leopold Foundation hat, too.
Hey.
Thank you for that.
Thanks, Larry. Time flies when you're having fun.
Right.
Appreciate it very much. Buddy Huffaker is executive director of the Aldo Leopold Foundation, and Steve Swenson is the foundation ecologist. The grand opening of the Legacy Center is Sunday, April 22nd. So be there or be square, okay? Coming up, we're going to be talking with Phil Pelletieri, UW Extension entomologist. I'm Larry Mueller here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.